We are Seventh-day Adventists. Do you know what that means? Because of our message, the special message that we have been given, we are going to become, if we are not already, the most unpopular church on earth. And if we're not, there's something wrong with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a unique identity. May we live up to our message. May we proclaim the message, this present truth that you've given us, to shake the nations because they are being shaken, and we need to give them another good one. Because, Lord, there's a wall going up. And after the wall, there'll be a great fall. May we be prepared to do our part to get the church ready for the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while the world is diverted away from the focus of the last days, which is the Roman Catholic Church, while they're being kind of looking, you know, they're in the background, they're always there. We're going to look at Daniel's image here for a second, and I want to talk to you about Humpty Dumpty and Helter Skelter. Let's go to our scripture in Daniel. And let's read that, some of that. I want to describe this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Isn't it neat that after these thousands of years, we're still talking about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had? Can you believe that? And it's a big time thing. It's really important. We got to wake up and focus in on what the message is that we're supposed to be proclaiming. And if we don't, he'll pass it on to somebody else. He'll pass us by. How would you like to be this close to being saved, but not there? We know so much. We are responsible for so much. When are we going to run with it? And I really mean this. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 33. Let's see what that says again. Okay. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron. And we know what the legs of iron are. Rome. Rome, strong Rome, mighty Rome. Then we get down a little further. Its feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. And we are in the toes. The time we are living today, we are in the toes of that image. What comes after that? The stone comes and it smashes it to smithereens. Now let's remember the nursery rhyme. Let's recite Humpty Dumpty. Do you know Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty had a sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. The Roman Empire, in this case, for my purposes, is Humpty Dumpty. Now, they built some walls too, the Romans. They built Hadrian's Wall in between Scotland and England because those Scots were too hard to conquer. They got that far and no further. In fact, somebody got a little adventurous and they went up a little further for another little wall, Anthony's Wall or something like that. And they overreached. So they went back to Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian's Wall was to keep those unruly Scots out of the empire because they couldn't conquer those blue-faced devils. And that's what they were. They used to wear blue paint on their face. And they were called Celts, you know, because of what they wore, the Celt. That's the way you're supposed to say it. We say kilt because that's the English translation. but the Scottish people called them Celts, and they were called Celts after what they wore. They were just impossible to get to conquer, so they built a wall to keep them out. But what happened to the Roman Empire? After it went as far as it could go and could control, it all started to go back and back and back. And it just went right down to, it fell apart, didn't it? It had a great fall, and it split up, and there's nations that have tried to put that Humpty Dumpty back together again over the years. Charlemagne, you know, the Holy Roman Emperor. They started that Holy Roman Empire because it was the Pope who ran it. And Charlemagne wanted to unite all the old nations of Europe into one entity, the Holy Roman Empire. And guess who the boss was? The Pope. The Holy Roman Catholic Church. Napoleon, he wanted to do the same thing. He wanted to conquer all of Europe and remake the Roman Empire. He did it a little different. He went and got the Pope and took the crown right from him and crowned himself. And eventually, they kidnapped the Pope, took him away, and 1798, the Pope was transferred to France and kept in captivity, and they had to appoint another one. The focus today is on building a wall. You're a little bit in the news lately about building a wall? Anybody, or have I been just living in a dream world here? But they're talking about building a wall, and they're going to keep undesirables out and try to keep desirables in and keep us safe. But you can build all the walls you want, and it isn't going to stop the progress of time, and it isn't going to stop the Ancient of Days coming down and smashing that image once and for all. It's going to happen, folks. This nation is going down. That's an unpopular message, because we want to make America great again. And we just might, for a short period of time, have a respite. It may happen for a little while. You remember that Hezekiah, he stopped the inevitable for a short time. Hezekiah was a great king of Judah. And he brought revival to Judah one last time. And they were great for a short period of time. And then there was Manasseh. And Judah went south. I don't mean to Mexico. They went south. They went down. And along come the Babylonians. And 70 years along. No? Was it 70 years long? No, it was before the 70 years that Nebuchadnezzar had this wonderful dream that is coming true today. It's all going to come to fruition, but we've got some opposition, folk, to the kingdom of God here yet. We're still fighting the great controversy. You and I have got something to do, and the Lord has told us what we are to do, and we are to go ahead and preach this unpopular message to the world. And then will the end come. Now, there's a popular theory, and it's not biblical, that Jesus is going to come secretly and take all the good people out and leave all the bad ones down here for a tribulation. Nobody is going to escape tribulation unless they die today. If they die, that's it. They'll escape it. But we are in the middle of it all. If you think the great tribulation is off into the future, you're not thinking straight. It's now. We are entering the darkness that has been held back for so long. Now, we are a movement known to be against Catholicism. Unfortunately, that's our identity, that's what we are. And if we were not anti-Catholicism or anti-papacy or anti-pope, then we would not be Seventh-day Adventists. Simple as that. That's our identity. Oh, you don't think so? I stay in touch with the Vatican. If you've got a computer and you want to know what they, the opposition, think of us, listen to this. This is from Catholic Answers. It's from their website. It's official. It's the original Catholic Encyclopedia, and it talks about us. And boy, have they got us nailed to a T. They know us, they respect us, and they look upon us as the only true Protestants left in the world today. The rest of them have gone over, pretty much. You see all when the Pope goes to a Pentecostal church, or when he goes to ecumenical gatherings, when he tells us that we're all separated brethren. But he does say that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a true Christian organization. Did you know that? That the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, recognize us as a true Christian church. And there's a lot of Protestants and evangelicals that won't even give us that distinction. But you get respect from people that are your true enemies. You've got to know your opposition so you know what battle you're fighting. You've got to know what side you're on. And I'm going to tell you straightly that if Peter was the rock upon which the church was built, I'd be a Catholic. Yes, I would. Because according to them, Peter gives them permission for all this nonsense that they preach. Because Jesus built his church upon Peter. But Peter said, now go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. Now we have to judge by what the truth is, not other people. Could somebody find that and read it for me? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is what Peter said about being the rock. Is Peter the rock or is Christ the rock? Yes, he is, but let's read it. Somebody got it?
For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
And also read chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. The judgment is beginning right at the house of God, and what is what Peter says about being the rock? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Somebody else.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, he also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up
Did you get the first part of that? Now, the second part we understand. Peter says we. He didn't say, you guys, I'm the chief cornerstone. He says, we are living stones built upon the foundation of who? Jesus. Jesus, he was the stone that the builders rejected. He is the one that Israel crucified by way of the Romans, but they didn't want their Messiah. And in the day that we're living in, it's still true. Here's what Pope Gregory said of himself. Pope Gregory, he was the pope between 1073 and 87, said, these 27 propositions that the Roman pontiff alone is justly styled universal, that no person may live under the same roof with one excommunicated by the pope, that all princes should kiss his feet only, that it is lawful for him to depose emperors, that his sentence is not to be reviewed by anyone while he alone can review the decisions of all others, that he can be judged by no one, that the Roman Church never erred, nor will it, according to the Scriptures, ever err. And he gives it Matthew 16, verses 15 to 19. Also, he says, Pope Gregory, that no one is to be accounted a Catholic who does not harmonize with the Roman Church, that he can absolve subjects from their allegiance to unrighteous rulers. And another difference between the true and false church is that attitude towards violence. The true church is a non-violent church. Period. Any church organization that allows or condones violence is not Christ's true church. The prerogatives to save or to cast into the lake of fire are God's and God's alone. And we haven't been given permission to pluck up the tares yet. They're supposed to grow among the wheat. That is God's prerogative too. So, what am I saying? Look behind what's going on in this world today and you'll find the Jesuits and the Benedictines. And guess what? We have two popes, the present one and the previous one, working together. And one is a Jesuit and one is a Benedictine. And those particular branches of Catholicism are not hesitant to use violence on unbelievers. Why am I bringing this all up? Because we have to be aware of the time we're in, and we have to understand where we are in the Scriptures. We have to understand the present truth for today, because if we don't, we'll fall asleep and it'll all pass us by and we won't know what to do when it comes. Now, here's what another thing that out of this thing about Seventh-day Adventism. There, the denomination reports that it has under 180,000 members in the United States and 7.8 million members elsewhere, mainly in Catholic countries. Oh, is there Catholic countries? I thought there was just the Vatican was the only Catholic country. No, anybody that has a majority in their country of Catholics is called a Catholic country. They belong to Rome. And it talked about our early history, and it says, Adventist belief. Seventh-day Adventists agree with many Catholic doctrines, including the Trinity, Christ's divinity, the virgin birth, the atonement, a physical resurrection of the dead, and Christ's second coming. And they use a valid form of baptism. They believe in original sin, and reject the evangelical teaching that one can never lose one's salvation no matter what one does. They correctly reject once saved, always saved. Yes, we do. That's, you know, this is showing respect to us. Believe it or not, folks, we need to respect our enemies. They're not stupid. And there's no such thing as a stupid Jesuit or Benedictine. There might be stupid people in every denomination. I could be one. But there are no stupid Benedictines nor Jesuits, and they're everywhere. And they're infiltrating our churches. They learn each denomination's doctrines by heart. They can tell you more about Seventh-day Adventism than most Seventh-day Adventists know themselves. And they're sent out, and they join us, and they infiltrate us, and some of them even get to General Conference. A lot of what's upset us lately over the last few years has been because of the Jesuits among us. Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to go around plucking out the tares. That's God's job, yes, but they're there. The tares are there. You don't know who's a wheat or who a tare is until they begin to bear fruit. And fruit-bearing time is now. We are beginning to see the manifestation of what's going on. When a godly man, when God sends forth a godly man to become president and he's rejected outright, and look at the choices we have now. The difference between them is one would be like scratching your finger across a blackboard, and the other one's like getting your hand chopped off. You can just imagine yourself which one that is. So what choices does America have today? Do we join the crowd? Do we go to sleep? Do we allow ourselves to become complacent and say, oh, let's just talk about Jesus. Let's just love everybody. Well, that's love. Greater love has no man that he would give his life for his friends. And some of us have suffered persecution because we teach this. And I think of Desmond Doss, the movie coming out that Mel Gibson did of the life of Desmond Doss, is particularly the fact that he would not kill another human being, but he fought alongside his gun-bearing, rifle-bearing, ammunition-shooting compatriots and went out and tried to save lives where they were taking them, and was called a coward and was put down, but he stood firm to his faith. Shining example of what we can be if we stick up for what we believe. We believe in love. We believe in love so hard and so much that we are willing to stand up for keeping the Ten Commandments. The world today has no respect for the Ten Commandments. You know, if you don't love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, you're not going to keep them, folk. One way or another, you're going to excuse yourself from this one or that one or the other one because you don't love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Now, a lot of people, I saw on Facebook the other day about they were praising Chick-fil-A for keeping the Sunday, taking that, shutting down their business on Sunday. And I said, well, thank God they are standing up for what they believe. It's not the truth, but they believe it and they're standing up for it. And so many people were saying, oh, they're just wonderful, they're just wonderful, they're just wonderful. And I said, well, unfortunately, it's not the day. Nobody, nowhere, ever said in the Bible that you should shut down your business on Sunday and take the day off. And you can go to church any day of the week, worship God, but it is not the Sabbath unless it's the seventh day. The truth is the truth. People are offended by that message. They say, who do you think you are? Well, we're just trying to be the best that we can be. And if the scripture says, remember the Sabbath day, and we remember it, where are we wrong? What are we doing to offend somebody when we stand up for what we know to be true, and people will just rake you over the coals? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than everyone else? No. I'm just proclaiming the truth I know. I don't know about what you believe, but I know what I believe, and each of us believes we're right until proven wrong. And it is a hard thing to change somebody's mind when it's already made up. So you don't worry about it. You just go ahead and you teach this and you preach this and you get on with it. But it's more than just the Ten Commandments. It's what are we going to do when they come after you? That's what they say about the police, right? What are you going to do when they come after you? And they say, you must not work on Sunday. You know, years ago, they called them blue laws. And in Canada, I worked for a company called Consumers Distributing. And we had the audacity to have our business open on a Sunday. And the police came into our store that I was managing, or one of the sub-managers, and charged me with breaking the blue law. And I went to court. And we were fined $1,000. Now, personally, not me, but our company. I was representing our company, but our company was fined $1,000 for being open on Sunday in Canada. Canada is closer to where Europe is than we are, and nobody's talking about building a wall between Canada and the United States. But a lot of sin gets committed by coming in the back door, not the front door. You know, the thief sneaks in where he can, where there's an opening. They've got thousands and thousands of Syrian refugees already in Canada. You know, we want to be secure. But building a wall is not going to make you secure. Because we're beyond walls today, folk. You know, when you can have these little drones come in your backyard and in around to your door, and your doorbell rings, and they deliver something from Amazon, you know, they could all just as well bring a bomb with them and blow your house up. And you know, terrorism today is just another form of Muslim or the Middle Ages, you know, where they had them overrunning Europe. And they had the Holy Crusades, and they drove them all back away. Well, the Crusades are back here today. Yeah, ISIS. It's all in the book. It's all been predicted. It's all been shown there that today is so important. You've never lived a more important day than today. Today is the most important day of your life. This is the only one you have. It's what you have right now. What you decide to do about what you know is imperative. If you know something to be true, stand up for it. If it's not true, then get rid of it. But in order to be merciful to the people around about you, you want to tell them the truth. It's like Noah. Get in the ark. It's the only way. Jesus is the only way. If you don't come to Christ, you're gone. You're damned. You know, it is that important. Because Jesus is the only way. It's not keeping the commandments. It's not how you keep them. It's why you keep them. We keep them because we love him. That's a basic fundamental. If you love somebody, you will give your life for them. When you marry somebody, the man is supposed to be willing to die for his spouse. Yes. Love your wife like Christ loved the church, that he gave his life a ransom for it. We need to love the unlovely. You know, the other day, and I pray this prayer every day, but I wonder sometimes if I don't make a hypocrite of myself. Lord, please send me somebody today that needs my help. Send me to them or send them to me. And he sends me the person I don't want to talk to. Somebody I don't like, somebody that really gets under my skin and says, no, not that one, send me another one. And the most miserable person that he could have possibly sent me, he sent me. And he says, now, Mr. Holier Than Thou, Grant McConaghy, this is the one I want. No! Isn't that what Jonah said? No, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Not that one. That's the one I want. Jonah, there's where I want you to go. Go. No. You know how people have prayed, please, I want to be a missionary, but don't send me to Africa. Oh, by the way, don't send me to India. It stinks. I don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? We want God to fit in our little package. We do not want him to rule over us. Who, you know, what did they say to Moses? Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian the other day? It's not popular preaching this message. You are not going to be liked. If you're here because you think it's a popular thing to do, you are so wrong. The last thing I ever wanted to be on God's green earth was a Seventh-day Adventist. That's the truth. I thought, can't I still be in the Salvation Army and preach this? I mean, they love me in the Salvation Army. I stepped outside a restaurant one day, and I had my uniform on, and my beard was a little thicker than it is right now. And some lady stepped back like this. She looked up. She said, "You're beautiful." Me? It was what I represented. She saw the Salvation Army, and it looked good to her. It wasn't me personally, but boy, it did feel good to somebody say, "Oh, you're beautiful." It's not popular to be a Seventh-day Adventist if you're really living the life, because you get under people's skin. Talking about the Sabbath, talking about the Ten Commandments. And you know, so many people think you cannot keep them. It's impossible for you to keep them. Jesus never said so. As many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. And he loves us. So he said, you know, I'm going away, but I'm really going to come back, and I'm going to live with you, and I'm going to bring the Father, and we're going to dwell in you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if I've got Jesus in my heart, what makes the Ten Commandments so hard to keep? And the one that's the easiest and the most fun and the one that gives you the most joy is the Sabbath. And they fight it like a fish on the end of a line. They want to get off that hook so bad. And they'll, no, not the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is the delight. And David said, "I delight in thy law." If you've got an attitude towards the law that I can't keep it, and I don't have to keep it because Jesus died for me and I can live any way I want. I bow my knee and I'm fine. And live like the devil and act like the devil, dress like the devil. And, you know, you are deceiving yourself. He wants us to live and follow his example. Why do you think he wrote so much gospels, epistles, showing us and teaching us how to behave ourselves on earth? Don't you think we need to behave ourselves? Or can we live any way we want? The world has to hear this, folks. And guess who's got to preach it? Oh, well. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And you know how hard they're trying to hold that European Union together, and then along comes England, says, "We've had enough of this. Let's get out of here." And they get out. And oh, the uproar. Even President Obama says, "You'll be sorry." You know? And the Scotsman said the other day, "Yeah, you'll be sorry, because we didn't want to leave the European Union. Now we're going to try to see if we can get our independence." Those troublesome Scots again. But you see, they can't put it together. They need a super person to come over and take it and organize it, and he's already waiting for them to ask him. His name is Pope Francis. And you know, if you really want to know what the Catholics believe, I encourage you to go to their website. I encourage you to read what they say about us. They said, we are a true Protestant believer, and that we're a true church. And our Baptist friends have a hard time accepting that. But we love the world. Not the things of the world, but the people of the world. We need to reach our neighbors and friends. And the best thing I know to do is be the best you can be. Keep the commandments. Because if you shine, they will be attracted. And if you bear fruit, they will come. And they will find that we bleed red blooded, just like they do. And I just wanted to tell you this morning because, well, it's important to know who you are, where you are, because there is no second chances. If you don't get right with Christ now, you're never going to get right with Him. Don't you tell me you're going to do it tomorrow. Don't you say, well, I'll wait till I get older. Some of us are pretty old now. Huh? When? On your deathbed? How do you know what day you're going to die? How do you know you're going to survive the day? This is the most important day of your life. What are you going to do about it? Today is the day of salvation. Get right with Christ. Amen. You know, 50 years ago, I was challenged that if I didn't get right, and this was out of the book of Revelation, that there'd be this creature come out of the bottomless pit that looked like a scorpion and would come and sting us and keep us in agony for 6 months, and we'd want to die and we wouldn't be able to. And I went right down to that altar as quick as I could get there. And they say, you shouldn't come to Jesus because you're scared. Well, if that's the only way to get you to Him, I say, scare Him. Because, you know, if somebody's just about ready to be hit by a semi-trailer truck and you don't yell out, get out of the way! They say, oh, no, let him go. Let him figure it out for himself. Is that merciful? Now, we may not be popular with this message, but we've got to preach it, folks. We've got to live it, folks. And I suggest that we all pray about it, decide whether we still want to be what we are or go somewhere else, because now's the time to take sides. Amen? And the side, I want to be on the Lord's side. I don't want to know anything else but that the Lord is on my side and I am in His will. Shall we pray? Father, we live in a helter-skelter world, and we have not been able to, by our own human means, put these empires back together again. And it all goes back to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to keep that image all gold and not give up his empire forever. But we know what happened to him. And he had to learn out the hard way of 7 years of crazy madness tied to a tree eating grass until he came to his senses and saw that You alone, O Father, rule in this and all kingdoms. We pray for our nation. We pray that somehow we escape the coming disaster. If we don't get right with You, we repent and we say, Lord, forgive us for the mass murders of so many millions of unborn children. Our corporate sin in this country, I don't know how You're ever going to forgive us for that one. But we ask for Your forgiveness. We ask, forgive us one more chance. Somehow save this nation that we may have the freedom to go out and continue to declare that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.